chapel open just in the months of summer. And I will say that I've had the same down vest on all 3 weeks underneath my vestments. And at the chapel in New Hampshire, we had a beautiful big fireplace in the back of the chapel, which on mornings like this, we would have roaring. So welcome to those of you who are visiting, and much gratitude and thanks to those of you who call this parish home. Imagine what it meant for this man to never have been seen or known for who he was. Possessed by forces of darkness beyond his control, and then to be set free, to be himself. Remaining seated, let's begin in prayer. O God, in the stillness of this time together, may we grow more sure of you. Open our hearts to you, our lives to you and each other. Let this story of our brother in faith speak to each one of us. As we withdraw a while from all that is without, may we find you anew within. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus arrives in a boat, coming across the Sea of Galilee, which for those of you who know Jenny Lake, probably 3 to 4 times the size of Jenny Lake is the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus would have gotten in a boat from Galilee and gone across to this region where this man was from, a Gennesarene. He steps on land, and the Gennesarene, possessed by legions of demons, meets him as he comes ashore. Imagine the courage. He, remember, is naked. He's from the tombs, so he lives where there's no running water, no way to clean himself, no way to hide the bloody scars that the chains and shackles have scored against his skin. And he has been so taken over by these false selves, these myriad voices, the powers of darkness, what we would likely understand today as profound mental illness. Some of you may have experienced yourself or known a loved one for whom the demon of bipolar disease or depression or addiction, it comes on us as if we are possessed by something not ourselves. So we look at this man who doesn't even speak to Jesus. The man kneels at the feet of Jesus, wanting the help of Jesus. And yet it's the demons that possess him that are the ones that are conversant and speak to Jesus. And they speak directly to Jesus, both saying, "Help me," and "Get away from me." And I don't know about any of you, but that movement in our spiritual lives, wanting to be close to God and wanting nothing to do with God, wanting to surrender all of what God's given to me for God to use in the world and wanting to take it all back and remain the control center of my own life. And we see that in this approach, in that this man is kneeling at the feet of Jesus, the demons come to speak with Jesus, and yet they say, "Do not torment me, get away from me." Witnessing Jesus conversant with and in command of this man's mental illness and demons, Jesus speaks with great comfort and calm and authority over the demons. It's an extreme story, and it demonstrates the breadth of Jesus' understanding of the human psyche and human experience. And I don't think that you have to be a Gerasene demoniac to perceive in this story something of our own experience. we have all, in different chapters of our lives, perhaps, been something, done something, been someone that's not us. Something not me or not you possesses us. A false self, an addiction, an illness, a possessive relationship, something so powerful that we have the sense it's taking us over. And Jesus, here in this story, sees the person inside, not the demons. Jesus gave the blind their sight, he made the lame walk, he allowed the deaf to hear. And in those stories, they all go away rejoicing, but not today. There's something so frightening about Jesus knowing that we possess in ourselves this great gift of who we are that can get taken over. Jesus sees the person inside this man, not the demons. Imagine never having been seen for who you are. You've been the lunatic who loses control and lives out in the tombs, the rageful person, dirty and unclothed, the outcast living under the highway overpass. Or all the times we have not been understood for the person we are. And Jesus says, by his words and by his actions, he says to this man, he says to you and to me, hello in there. Do any of you know that beautiful song by John Prine? If you don't, look it up on your iPhones on the way as you leave from church. Beautiful lyrics to John Prine's song, Hello in There. It's what I hear Jesus saying to this man who appears the most lunatic, rageful, unlike himself person. And Jesus is able to see far beyond all of that and say to him, hello in there. Hello. I know you. I know you are not your demons. I know you are not your illness, your addiction, this false self. I want you to be free, to be fully yourself, and to be whole, not bound up in the prison of a false self, constrained by the shackles and bonds. And so this beautiful image that the swineherds, the swineherders, so it's sort of like sheep with shepherds, swineherders are the ones watching the pigs that day. It's hard to imagine what happened to them or what this story was like for them. I mean, that's a bit of another sermon, I think, and I don't like long sermons, so I won't go into the swineherd. But maybe you could ask someone to preach someday for the perspective of the swineherders. Because what was that like? They just lost their livelihood. They just lost their livelihood over the... There I go preaching on it. Okay, stop. But anyway, the perspective of the swineherders is very interesting to imagine. They are in such shock, and they've just lost all their pigs. So they run back into the city, and they start saying, that lunatic, crazy man who's been living in the tombs, you won't believe. He's been transformed. And so the people come back out, and they say that they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. What a beautiful picture of the healing that's transpired in this story. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. But unlike the times when Jesus does those other kinds of healings and they all go away rejoicing, they are so afraid of Jesus' power that he is conversant with demons that they actually ask him to leave. And the scriptures tell us, so he got into the boat and returned to Galilee. That simple, beautiful statement that Jesus doesn't press us any further than we're ready to go. And he just went on his way. And for the healed man, he wants to follow Jesus. He wants to get on the boat with him. He wants to be a follower. He wants to stay with him. And Jesus says, no, live your life. Return home and connect with the power of God that healed you and see what God wants to do with your future and with your life. You don't need to stay with me. You take the power of God that healed you today and you return home. And that's what it's ours to do this morning. To take this story, to take how it speaks with us, to us. And not to waste our time with all those self-recriminating voices that tell us, oh, I couldn't possibly start feeling connected with God at church this morning because I've done this and this and I haven't been good at that and I don't really know how to pray and I should do it more or I should do it better or if only. The concern of the Spirit of God is with now. Right now. What can happen in you and in your life as your spirit opens now and into the future? Don't try to improve all the chapters in your past. Allow yourself this morning, ever gently, moment by moment, to return to the divine, renewing, refreshing presence, powerful over any one of our demons. Begin now in the quiet of this time together this morning to offer your full self, naked with all your wounds and all your scars, in glad surrender to the love that made you, to the love that is here with you, to the love that sustains you. We connect to the great silence of God that rests in the powerful mountains before us. And we turn ourselves in humble wonder to the power of the light.